Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside Assemble AI, the podcast where we explore how artificial intelligence is transforming business strategy and innovation. I am Mac, and alongside my co-host Sam, we are here to cut through the AI hype and bring you real insights from the leaders who are implementing AI strategically in their organizations. Disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in the podcast are solely those of the host or guest and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position of any organization. The podcast is intended to provide general educational information and entertainment purpose only.
Today, we are diving deep into one of the most critical roles in any organization, program management, and how artificial intelligence is completely transforming this field. Whether you're a C-suite executive exploring AI adoption, a program manager looking to stay ahead of the curve, or a technology leader planning your next AI strategy, this conversation is for you.
You know, when I started my career 15 years ago as a software developer and then transitioned to program management, it was all about spreadsheets, sticky notes, and hoping your gut instincts were right about potential risk. Fast forward to today, and we are living in an era where AI can predict project failures before they happen, automatically reschedule resources when conflicts arise. I could write after 3 cups of coffee, and what fascinates me most in that AI is not just making existing process faster. The best program managers are not being replaced by AI, they are being amplified by it.
Love that, Mac. The transformation is actually what we're exploring today. That how AI is reshaping one of the most critical roles in any organization. So we're joining by our guest for this episode, Shay Fira King. She's joining us from the Big Apple, New York. Shay is a program manager and technologist with 10 plus years driving tech education access and social impact initiatives. Specializes in transforming manual processes into automated solutions and implementing complex workflows at innovative organizations. She's expert in stakeholder management across all levels, from executive to kindergartens, with proven success in training teams and managing end-to-end learning programs. She's a UW Madison graduate, and she's been alumni in American Crops and also a certified PMP. Shay, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Mac. I'm really glad to be here.
So, my first question to Shay is that, how do you see that AI is reshaping the role of program managers in the next 3 to 5 years? And specifically, do you think that the role is becoming more strategic or more automated?
Yeah, that is a great question. I mean, 3 to 5 years from now, that seems so far in the future in AI years. so some ways I see the role shifting in 3 to 5 years is, one, I see the program managers who have been leveraging AI right now as being really leaders in the standardization efforts and the wider org initiatives regarding program management at their companies. So as we all know, PMOs, we love our standardization. For those who may not know, that's program manager office. And those are the folks that are really kind of setting the stage for how program management runs in those companies. So the PMs who are using AI right now are going to be the ones who are managing things like the prompt library that all program managers are using. They're going to be managing things like how different processes and workflows for program managers are run across the org. So I would expect to see standardization efforts at that time based on the experimentations that are happening right now. I would also I would also predict seeing program managers becoming really managers of AI agents and different types of workflows for program management. So they're really going to be the ones who have done a good job of assessing the different workflows, spelling them out, and then managing the solutions as they happen across their companies. Another thing that I would expect to see is the opportunity for leaning into the domains that the program managers work in. So, you know, maybe a year or two ago as a program manager, you know, so many of the tasks were, you know, as you mentioned, Mac, right, like spreadsheets and getting all these comms done and just like all of these different tasks that really piled up day after day. And, you know, leaning into the whatever domain it may be, whether it's finance or software development or what have you, sometimes could, you know, take a back seat to what the program manager was really specializing in because they had to do all of these other things. And now, as we're seeing AI be able to, you know, take down the time that it takes to do a lot of these, you know, sort of more I don't want to call them generic tasks, but, you know, tasks that took up a lot of time and were very repetitive. The program managers will now have time to, you know, do deep research into their domains. They're going to be able to, you know, talk with subject matter experts and kind of get themselves up to speed. And so you're going to see more of a value add because they're, you know, working closely with these teams. They're really seeing what the domain needs, and they're going to be able to upskill in ways that, really allow them to multiply, you know, the programs that they're managing. So I think we'll see different types of specializations, like, you know, maybe it's budgeting, maybe it's, you know, financial forecasting, maybe it's, you know, technical integration, things like that. So that's another way that I would predict that things are going to change. And then the final way I'd say is merging of the roles. So I came from a world where I was working in smaller organizations where we had to wear lots of hats all the time. We were really tiny teams, really tiny orgs, and we had to do the work of, you know, three or four people as program managers in that setting. And when I got to corporate, we, you know, had lots of different team members who were doing different functions. I think we're going to see kind of a collapsing of some of that. So we'll see program managers, you know, taking on more Scrum responsibilities or maybe more release managers responsibilities, maybe data and analytics responsibilities. So really kind of like expanding the scope of the program manager, which could be exciting for someone who likes to do a lot of different things and could be a little daunting perhaps for someone who's, you know, used to, you know, what kind of more traditional program management looks like right now.
Love that. Actually, you and me are sharing common space, I mean, in program management and the project management world. Another thing that I'm going to ask you is that so can you walk us through like what a day in life of a program manager looks like with or without AI tools? Paint us one picture before and after. How do you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So typical day of a program manager. So I start the day and, you know, like many, I'm checking emails. So I'm scanning my emails. I'm seeing, you know, what is updated from the last day. I'm also, you know, looking for some specific updates on, oh, did this specific team that has the dependency, you know, deliver on that task yet? And so I'm looking for that in my email as well. And then next I'm going to, you know, prioritize what I need to do and who I need to reach out to and, you know, when do I need to get back to them? So that would be next. Then at some point I might have, and then I might have a meeting with a stakeholder. But I have a time blocked on my calendar to prep for that meeting. So I need some time to, you know, get up to date with what those stakeholders are working on and, you know, make sure all the things are updated in the deck for the stakeholder meeting. Then I would lead the stakeholder meeting. So definitely having discussion in that meeting, giving updates, project status, that sort of thing. Then after the stakeholder meeting, I would give the update back to everyone. So I'd write a follow-up email. I would say, here's what we discussed. Here are our next steps. Here's, you know, the forecast again. And then I might lead a prioritization meeting with engineers. And so this is a meeting where we're discussing all these different tickets. So we're in a completely different system now. We're looking at tickets, we're prioritizing things. And then we come to an agreement. And then after the meeting, I send out, you know, next steps, and here's what we prioritized, and here's everything we need to do. And so that's kind of a condensed version of what a day might look like as a program manager. And then the AI version is much more streamlined. So for example, I would start my day with not just looking through all my emails, but I could receive a digest of all the emails that I received. And in that digest, it might track the different things that I'm interested in. So I might have, you know, some line items for those dependencies that I was curious about, and an update that says, okay, the dependencies, we still haven't, you know, received any word. Here's a drafted email to respond to that stakeholder and ask them about, you know, what the status is. So that's how that part of the day might look. When I'm prioritizing my to-do lists with AI, I can use AI to look at all these emails, look at my notes from the past day or past week to help me prioritize what I am doing that day and who I need to reach out to. And then I could amplify that by saying, okay, here are all the people I need to reach out to. Can you draft check-in messages for all of the people I need to reach out to? So all of a sudden now I have my priorities drafted out, and I just need to confirm that, yes, this is the order I want to do things. I have my communications that I need to send out. I have drafts of that. So that's almost ready to go. I just need to go through and make sure it looks good. And then for my prep meeting with the stakeholders, perhaps I have used AI to, you know, prep for that meeting. So I say, all right, here's my meeting that I have. Here are all the people who are attending. What did we talk about last time? What were the next steps? And really get a whole digest of everything I need to do to prepare, ready to go. Yeah. And I can even, you know, depending on the teams I'm working with, right, like expand it to, you know, beyond myself. So I can send prep meetings like that to the other people on the teams. I can, you know, help them come to the meetings more prepared than they were before, just by, you know, using AI to, you know, quickly, you know, direct them in the right direction, saying, here are goals, and here's the main question we need you to answer while you're here in this meeting. So they know exactly why they're there. And so the meeting is even more, you know, impactful and purpose-driven. And then let's see. So my prioritization meeting with the engineers, I might use AI, you know, to help me with the afterwards for that. So maybe, you know, I would have to take through all my notes and type here all the things that we did. And now I can use AI to do that much faster, and then really follow up with the one or two people that, you know, perhaps needed a dependency breakout or some kind of follow-up after, and use my time that way rather than listing out all the things that we talked about. Because I can now use, you know, the transcript of the meeting to help draft that and send that out fast. So that's kind of the before and after of, you know, some typical tasks that I would have in the day, and then how that would, you know, really get amplified with AI.
I can completely let you resonate that what you were saying, because one of the things that I have experienced, I mean, there are many things, but I want to say about that email drafting stuff that what you just mentioned. So even like 2 years back, sometimes I had to literally write emails, and it would take maybe 30 minutes sometimes, because, you know, I'm going to write email for 40 stakeholders. Now I just put the template. I mean, in AI, it is just giving me the template within just a fraction of seconds, and then I'll just put the numbers. So I have a lot of questions to ask you. So for my next question, I'm going to pass it over to Sam.
Thanks, Mac. And thanks, Shay, just giving your like real life examples of how you're using AI, not only just kind of like transforming some of the mundane tasks to like a more automated fashion, but it's also helping you to gain some efficiency back. And I totally agree with you both, because me myself, who is also a cross-functional lead working with different stakeholders within the organization, email drafting is a game changer for me. Like, you know, AI helping us to draft those emails on a day-to-day basis is definitely a game changer. And I totally agree with you both on that. Now, for the next segment, I want to shift gears a little bit and go to a different kind of question. So what are the biggest challenges or ethical concerns you have encountered when implementing AI in program management? Because that's some of the things that people are kind of like talking about right now, that how we can use AI efficiently, but also not at the risk of, you know, breaking down laws or rules or any guidelines as such. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And I think we could probably fill up the rest of the call with talking about the challenges and the risks involved. I would say some of the challenges that I've seen include, one, when implementing AI in program management and, you know, sharing it with teams, there's definitely not a universal set of knowledge of, you know, what AI is actually capable of doing. So, you know, for some stakeholders, it might be, you know, that they don't trust AI and, you know, they don't want it involved in their programs or their meetings or anything. And for others, they might, you know, see, you know, the way AI is implemented and say, oh, but can it do X, Y, and Z? Can it just like, you know, magically transform all of these things? And, you know, that side of the spectrum is also potentially, you know, not where we're at. So I would say managing expectations is one of the challenges that I've seen. And then the other one that I've come into at my work is, you know, there's definitely like there's definitely the mismatch of how fast the technology is, you know, evolving and growing and changing, and so many different products and use cases available, and also the rate of change, you know, at an institution, at a company, right? You know, we have all of these different processes. We have all of these different, you know, levels of governance that we need to be mindful of. And so for someone who's, you know, potentially like an early adopter or someone who's, you know, very excited about the technology, you know, we're ready to go. And, you know, the systems might not be there yet. The governance might not be there yet. And so it's kind of this like tricky balance of, you know, getting ready and learning and growing, you know, how to use the different AI technologies, and then, you know, having like the technologies that are available within your organization at the moment, and kind of making the most of that, but also preparing for when there will be more opportunities to grow, you know, on your teams or on your programs, at the company. So kind of like that mismatch of paces, I would say, is kind of a tricky challenge that I've observed.
No, I think that definitely kind of like a lot of people would agree with what you just said. You know, we have seen like different reactions to like the AI adoption. We have seen some people are receptive to kind of like get on the AI journey, and some people are still kind of like, you know, taking it as a grain of salt when it comes to, you know, applying AI for their day-to-day task or anything as such. So now, without being talking about a lot of company preparatory stuff, but would you be able to share kind of like your experience on how you see people are resistant to adopt AI, or something that they're kind of like go ahead and like trusting it the right way? Do you have some sort of like a like an experience that you encounter recently where people are just, okay, I'm going to use AI, it doesn't matter, or, you know, like how it's going to add value to my, I will first try it and then I'll decide whether it's going to add value to my process or not. So what's your experience on that?
Yeah. That's a great question. I would say, so in my experience, I have, and when I've come across, you know, some resistance or just some general, you know, either mistrust or, you know, not knowing what AI is capable of, the way that I have engaged with those stakeholders or teams has really been to kind of talk about what I've been learning and show them what is possible. And that has seemed to break down a lot of the, you know, kind of more generic, oh, AI is just, you know, robots and it's fun, but we don't know what it is, right? But really when somebody sees, you know, a very concrete use case, and it's either, you know, something that they work on, or it's something that, you know, touches their work, then all of a sudden you start to see kind of like the light bulb, you know, go on, and they say, oh wait, but maybe I can use it this way, or maybe I can try and use it this way. So I would say, it's really like, it's really about kind of those demos and showing what's possible, but also helping the teams to kind of see what's possible. And one of the things that I've just been trying to do is really kind of bringing back whatever learnings I have, because I am going to go out and figure out what's possible, and, you know, learn all about the different tools. And I'm going to, you know, bring that back, you know, to the company and to my teams and say, hey, look at this. You could actually try this too. And then I would say the other thing that I was not exactly a part of your question, but I think is worth adding. You know, at our companies, we have certain tools that are approved, and, you know, maybe certain tools that are not approved. And so what I've been doing is, if I notice a tool that's out there in the world that is not, you know, on the approved list, maybe I'll go out in the world and I will, you know, test out the tool and, you know, do some kind of generic testing with it. And then what I use AI to do is to say, okay, here are the current tool sets that I have at my company. How can I make this tool set work like that thing? And then I will get kind of like a step-by-step and a how-to build it, you know, with, you know, the things that are available and the things that are approved. So I think that's another way to approach it as well.
Yep. No, totally agree with you on that, especially like you mentioned. I think it kind of like boils down to that human dynamics of AI adoption, you know, like it's about all the mindset, the human mindset, that how receptive to kind of like trying out some new thing, like you mentioned, like you want to go out there and see what tools out there and see how you can just, you know, apply to that. It's just like, I think we probably have to go out and find the AI hammers and then see how we can use it to, you know, hit in some nails and stuff, right? And we're definitely going to get some use cases for sure. Now, just to piggyback on that, so based on what you just said, it seems like you do have like an open mindset in terms of like using new AI tools and stuff. So in your opinion, do you see AI as a more of a, like a co-pilot or a competitor to the program manager in future? Because I think that's also a very valid question to ask. A lot of people are thinking about AI is going to replace their jobs. So what do you think from a program management perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I personally definitely see it as a co-pilot. And I've been using it as a co-pilot to really kind of make my role, to give me power in my role, essentially. So some ways that I've been using it as a co-pilot, I think I mentioned I've been, you know, using AI to kind of translate, okay, so if I had that kind of tool out there, give me a how-to on how I can do it at my company using our tools. One of the ways that I've been using it as a co-pilot is I noticed some automation opportunities at work. And, you know, it used to take me, you know, an hour or two, or, you know, a lot of like Stack Overflow searching to figure out how to like do different automations. And so sometimes that would be a blocker to me kind of implementing it in my workflow. But now with AI, I can say, hey, I have this workflow that I want to implement. I'm looking to automate this task. Help me code this in Python. And I can start to get, you know, some helper instructions on how to, you know, code it in Python and build out some tools to like really amplify my program manager work. So I've been using it in that way as a co-pilot. I've been using it to, you know, help me draft all sorts of documentation, things like risk registers, things like communication matrices. So really getting either the first draft or using it as a co-pilot to help me identify gaps in, you know, the things that I've identified. Are there any things that I need to be, you know, adding to this list? Are there risks that another stakeholder might bring up? So using different types of personas to, you know, try to see my work through the lens of my stakeholders before you know, getting to those stakeholders and working with them. So I definitely see AI as being a co-pilot. The ways that I think it could potentially be a competitor would be if, and this refrain of like, you know, AI is not going to replace your job, but someone with AI will replace your job, right? We've heard that a lot. I think for someone who is resistant to AI and they're not a part of the conversation, you know, either on their team or at their work, and saying, here's everything I do in my job as a program manager. This is what I do. These are the stakeholders that I manage, and here's how AI can transform my role. For somebody who's not doing that, I think AI could potentially be used by other stakeholders. So I'll give you an example. One thing that we do as program managers is we bring stakeholders together to have meetings. And sometimes those meetings have, you know, like a PowerPoint deck to help guide the meeting. If I was not the program manager and I was just there, I might say, oh, program managers, they just made slide decks. So I could build an AI to be a program manager, right? Because I could just use it to make a slide deck. But really, that's not all we do. We do so many other things behind the scenes. So I think it's really important for program managers to kind of take control of, you know, the narrative of what they do, and to, you know, say, all right, these are all the workflows that I'm a part of. Without any of these things, the work wouldn't happen. And so I think to combat, you know, AI as a competitor is really, you know, leveraging it to be the co-pilot, and, you know, using your voice in at your company to say, here's all I do, and here's how I can also amplify what I do with AI and provide more value to open up time for additional types of work.
No, thanks, Shreya. Thanks for your perspective. And we can definitely agree on one thing, that AI is definitely going to make someone an efficient program manager, and also helping them to not only amplify their expertise, but also showcase that to the other stakeholders who probably think their program managers are only running slide decks, which is not a reality we live in. Thanks, Shreya. And over to you, Mac, for the next segment.
Yeah. Thanks, Shreya, for your input. Actually, I completely agree with you. I mean, the reason that I actually really love that example that you have given. So I actually remember that although I am not fully doing my presentation deck through AI for my org, I do in a lot of my side projects. But it is not the program managers do, actually, just creating the side decks. And there are a lot of other things. So I think my perception that we are not there yet, that all the program manager's job that can be replaced by AI. I mean, like, it's not only just, you know, to drive the meeting, you know, I mean, to do the critical thinking, check the status, right? And then, you know, at that time, the runtime decision-making. I mean, there are a lot of other things to create a lot of documentation, right? So I think there are a lot of tasks that the program managers do. I don't think that, you know, we are that stage yet that AI is going to replace. Having said that, let's tackle, you know, some of the hype around that AI in program management, some of the myths. I know that you already touched upon a few of them already in the previous conversation. So what's the most overhyped myth about AI in program management that you wish people would stop believing?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I might have to echo what you just said. Really, it's that AI can replace all program managers right now. That is not the case. That is so wrong. I use AI every day, and I am constantly, you know, checking its work and correcting things. There's just so many examples of, you know, if you have like even just a 10% chance that there's going to be an error, right? That's a lot of the time. As a program manager, right, I aim to be 100% accurate with my communications, with the dates, with the, you know, people who are, you know, expected to deliver on the work. And so when I'm using AI, I am also checking it. I am checking my work. I have seen examples of, you know, meeting notes where, you know, deliverables were not attributed to the right person. I've seen, you know, examples of, you know, I've asked a tool to give me a list of all the people who were invited to that meeting. You know, there were 35 people in the meeting. Who all was there? And, you know, I would scroll down and start to see names where I don't know that person. Is that an intern? Is that someone new? And then I would see, you know, Charlie Brown and Jane Doe. And I'm like, oh, wait, AI is playing tricks on me. It is not ready for, you know, to have this level of detail the way that, you know, program managers, humans can do. So it's definitely that it can be replaced humans in roles like program management is definitely overhyped. I mean, you know, I would say whoever, you know, wanted to try could, but they would have glaring errors and gaps in the work. And so program managers can really just like leverage AI to amplify their work, but also see it more as, you know, someone who is, you know, maybe an earnest, but kind of a sloppy coworker. And so you want to make sure you check their work before it's, you know, ready for to be published.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, if someone is thinking that, you know, that I'm going to just run an AI agent and that is going to do everything for me, running the meeting, creating the notes, I think it's a totally a hype. I mean, it's not going to happen for sure. So I completely agree with that. So let's have a fun thought experiment. So if you had an AI genie that you could do one program management task flawlessly forever, what task would you choose and why?
Oh my gosh, I think you can probably guess what it is. And it is create PowerPoint slide decks for me, please. So outside of work, I've used some tools. I'll give some examples like Gamma and Beautiful AI and Canva. Oh my gosh, and they create these stunning presentations. Stunning. However, everywhere I've worked is either, you know, Google Slides or, you know, PowerPoint. And we're not using those other tools. And so that would be my AI genie. I mentioned earlier how I, you know, was using AI to be, you know, my co-pilot to kind of program this helper thing for me. And one of the things that I used it to help me create was a way to programmatically make slide decks using Python. So the genie question is a great one because it might seem like kind of this like pie in the sky dream to do it. But when I, you know, you ask AI, all right, but could I actually create this as a workflow? Could I actually automate this thing that I, you know, dream of having AI do? And there might be ways to automate it. There might be ways to code it. And, you know, with AI as a co-pilot, it's definitely within the power of, you know, the program manager to attempt creating some tools like that. So I would say I want my genie to make decks for me, but also it's a great question because it can be used to, you know, drive your innovation in your work or on your teams because, you know, there is possibility to build what you would want the genie to be.
Right. I think I agree with you. So creating the presentation deck and drafting the email, these two tasks, I mean, it's so boring for me. So, I mean, definitely I need some AI agent. I wish they can do it for me in future. So finally, looking ahead, what skills should program managers start building today to stay relevant in the AI augmented future? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely the skills to stay relevant is the skill of learning. Program managers, we are entrenched in the work. Our work goes so fast. We have multiple projects and programs over, you know, the course of multiple quarters. And there's not a lot of time to pause and learn. There's not that much time to pause and reflect or upskill. I would say it is critical for program managers to take the time to see what tools are available right now and do it at the very least every 6 months because everything is changing so quickly. And, you know, there could be something that, you know, opens up time for you if you learn it right now. And so you would actually have that time to upskill, you know, quarterly or, you know, biannually, whatever makes sense to you. So I would say the skill would be to, you know, practice learning, practice, you know, identifying places to learn about AI. So maybe that's, you know, you're following different people on LinkedIn. Maybe it's, you know, there's some podcasts or some Substacks that you know, follow and you get updates so that you're staying abreast of what's happening, even if you're not able to, you know, test out every new tool that comes out every day. So that would definitely be the skill to practice, I would say. And then if I added another skill to that, I mentioned it earlier, but like really being able to see your work in terms of workflows and processes, I think will really help to use AI in a meaningful way. I think it can be easy to think about our work as like, here are all the programs that we manage and here are the tasks. But if a program manager is able to think of their work as here's the workflow, then we can break it down into pieces that we can use AI to help us solve and to help us do faster so that we can, you know, kind of maximize our time to, you know, do more meaningful work, be involved in, you know, our domain, learn even further. So I would say being able to identify the steps of your workflow of, you know, the things you work on as a program manager will help in setting up your job for AI implementation and really leveraging the tools.
Yeah. Awesome. Shay, I know that we are almost at the end of the podcast. I just have one more question because I'm very curious to know from you. What is the biggest experiment you already did with your AI skills? Like either in your organizations or outside the org, any project, any side hustle, whatever. But just explain, like walk us through that, what you did and how it helped you to increase your productivity as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. So I can talk a little bit more about the tool that I built for this deck building workflow. So I was working on a inherited program where, you know, we had dozens of stakeholder groups that all needed, you know, kind of an identical deck. And, you know, as soon as I got introduced to this problem, I thought, oh my gosh. that's going to take a lot of time to create all of these things manually. And so I thought, gosh, there has to be some kind of way to automate this or use AI to do it. And so I, you know, used AI as my co-pilot and I gave it the instructions. I said, here's everything I need to do. I have this amount of stakeholder groups and they are required to have, you know, these identical decks and each one will have a screenshot taken from this place and inserted into the deck. And what I got from that was some code that I could, you know, build off of to programmatically take those screenshots. So instead of having to, you know, click, 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 do a screenshot and then create a whole deck and put it in the deck and do all of these things manually, which was going to take hours, absolutely hours. I was able to use AI to build a small program to do that automatically. So it was taking the screenshots for me. It was building these decks for me. It had every single title slide and everything I needed already there. And it saved so much time. And I was able to, instead of spending the time manually doing all this stuff, was able to, you know, drill into what were we taking the screenshots of and what was that, you know, information there that, you know, the stakeholders were going to be discussing during the meetings. And I could, you know, then get more up to speed so that, you know, when I was in those meetings, I could be more helpful rather than just, you know, presenting this information for everyone. So that's one tool out in the world that I use to help really kind of maximize a program manager workflow.
Okay, great. I would love to hear actually more about that, but I'm going to pass it over to Sam now.
Thanks, Shay. You know, I love that idea of like, you know, you build some sort of an AI tool to dynamically populate some standardized presentation decks. Great to know that. So this podcast episode, you know, it's been incredibly insightful for someone who is not in the program management field, but with all this thing going on in the AI world, it's great to see that this program management field is also getting impacted by AI and is helping the program manager gaining a lot of efficiency. So now, before we wrap up, you know, what one question I would like to ask you, Shay, like, what's one piece of advice you would give to a, you know, newbie program manager who's just starting to explore AI tools, but kind of feeling a little overwhelmed by having all the options available right now? So how do they narrow down their approach of start utilizing AI tools for their benefit? If you can shed some light on that, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. There are definitely so many ways to go, so many things to learn, and it's definitely, it can be challenging to know where to start. I would say start with, you know, an area that's really exciting. So if I were, you know, talking to a young program manager, I would say, you know, which part of program management do you find really fascinating and that you would want to improve just a little bit? So maybe, you know, if you're the type of person, you want every person that you communicate with to have personalized, you know, task lists and personalized, you know, emails. Maybe you can figure out a way to use AI to customize that for everybody. So that might be one strategy. Another way would just be to, you know, have a conversation with, you know, whatever AI tool you have. So maybe it's ChatGPT, maybe it's Copilot, what have you, and say, all right, here's everything I've done as a program manager so far. You know, this is my background. I also have this background in, you know, whatever it may be. What are some ways that I can grow as a program manager and see what it suggests for you? That's something that I've definitely been doing the past couple of years is, you know, using AI as a way to help map that career growth and see, like, where are the gaps in my skill set? Where are some ways I can grow? And so I would say as a new program manager, definitely try that out, you know. Put your resume in there, put, you know, the type of company you work at and say, all right, I'm looking to grow. What are some areas where I can grow and help me build out a plan? And you'll get a customized plan in, you know, less than 10 seconds. So that's one way that you could go about it. And I would say lastly, it's similar to exercise, right? The best exercise is the exercise you do, right? I think the best, you know, AI you learn is just like the whatever you're trying right now. So try start anywhere, and then, you know, just go from there.
Yeah, thanks, Shay. And for those of you who are listening to this podcast episode, if you're program managers, just keep remember what Shay just mentioned. You know, just try to be open-minded, try to come up with a plan with the use of AI and see how that can use you to, you know, get into your AI journey. So for all our listeners, Shay, I would like to ask you this question, that if they would like to follow with your work and if you'd like to like get in touch with you in future, what's the best medium they should try to reach you up?
Yeah, absolutely. They can definitely feel free to, you know, send me a LinkedIn and a LinkedIn DM, so a message on LinkedIn. You're welcome to follow me there as well. I'm, you know, usually posting about whatever I learned most recently there. So feel free to look at what I've learned before and ask me any questions about anything you want to try and implement in your work. I'm always happy to share. I'm definitely a kind of a geek in that regard. So feel free to reach out or to look at, you know, whatever I posted and shared there on LinkedIn.
Thanks, Shay. Over to you, Matt, for the closing section.
Thanks, Shay. Thanks, Sam. So that's a wrap on today's episode. Shay, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and give us such a clear picture of where program management is headed in the age of AI. For our listeners, we have got links to all the tools and resources Shay mentioned in our show notes at Inside Assemble AI. And if you're implementing AI in your program management practice, we'd love to hear your stories as well, both the successes and the challenges.
If you found this conversation valuable, please subscribe and share it with someone who might benefit from thinking about AI more strategically in program management. We'll be back with more episodes featuring AI leaders, innovators, and strategic thinkers. Thanks for listening.